All right, here we go.
Great.
Hey there, I'm Nick. I'm in my 20s trying to figure out life and what faith has to do with it. I've got a lot of questions, probably very similar to the ones you've got. But here's the thing. I'm looking for a better answer, and it's difficult to find someone who can help. So I'm bringing on Kyle, a mentor of mine, who's going to help me find a better answer. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Better Answer, where I have ramen and two external hard drives.
And backpack exploded all over the table.
So
I see an SD card. I thought you wanted to put the SD card in the thing to record the what we're saying right now.
Where's the SD card?
It's right there in your badge.
No, so the SD card held a micro SD card.
Oh, wow.
So here's what happened, guys. Our podcast was recorded for 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know, being a diligent person. I was doing something and I got a text like, hey, can you do the podcast now? It's like, I can do it in 20 minutes. So I was like, I'm on my way. I get here, forget my badge, forget my backpack.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but surely such a video heavy church would have an SD card just appear out of thin air, right?
Yeah, they should just be laying around stacks in the office.
Nobody. None. Except for the people who are gone and et cetera. So I went home. And then I came back with my backpack and I couldn't find it. And so all of my backpack is on the table right now.
Here's what I want to know about your ramen. There's two packs of ramen. Do you cook it or do you just eat it like a cracker?
So have you heard of Ezekiel bread?
is ramen basically the same thing?
Yeah. It's this magical.
It's from a biblical recipe and it's full of goodness for my body.
It's this magical sustenance that fills you. But only takes.
But have you ever eaten it raw?
Yeah, you can eat it raw.
I think that's the best way to eat it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's the cheapest ramen possible. But
yeah, cheaper the better.
Well, here we are. I'm like overheating. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
You know. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm hoping we talk about.
Okay.
Well, do you have anything on your mind?
No, go for it.
No. Okay. If you are any type of follower of Crossroads, you belong here, you listen to Brian, you listen to Kyle, whatever, I don't know, put it yourself in whatever category you want, maybe just listen to this podcast. Well, if that's true, then you should know that Crossroads this past weekend, well, whenever this posted, probably not this past weekend, but the Sunday before the 15th, Brian talked about like where our church is going, a push,
yep,
and like an awakening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something he talked about at the very end was 99% in versus 100% in.
Yeah.
So, now, we could apply this to Crossroads. I want to talk about it in general.
Yep.
Or more specifically, in terms of God. I think a lot of us like to live on this spectrum of like, well, I've said yes to Jesus, and I talk to him sometimes. He has changed some parts of my life. The ones that I chose.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And some people might even say, I've like Jesus in 99% of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like to be all in? Not 99,
yeah.
But 100. And to add to this, I recently watched a sermon from Matt Chandler, and he was talking about the difference between being decided on Jesus versus discipled.
Decided.
As in, yeah, Jesus is real. He's the Messiah. He's my king, etc. Versus
yeah,
disciples. And you know what? Jesus can have all of my life.
Yep. I think that's an excellent question.
Great.
So, topic. What does it mean to be all in?
Yeah.
And how would I know that I'm all in?
Yeah.
I want to start with what it's not. Okay. It's
okay.
Not doing it perfectly.
Yep.
It's not being perfect. You're not all in the day that you don't make a mistake. That's not all in-ness.
Okay.
And we see that in scripture. We see that with the disciples. Peter, I would say, was an all-in guy.
Mm-hmm.
He screwed up all the time. Okay? Like, it's not...
Yeah.
Paul, if you read Paul's writings, he has these, like, ramblings where he'll talk about, like, I just don't even do the things that I want to do and the stuff that I don't want to do. That's the crap I keep doing.
Yep.
Like, I think Paul was... For sure, an all-in guy.
Right.
I've been spending more time thinking about him than anybody else lately, getting ready for a message that I'm giving in, I think, 2 weekends at Crossroads, and I'm doing a profile of Paul and the characteristics of resilience in him.
Yeah.
And so for what I would say, if somebody said, what does it mean to be all in? I would mean, my answer right now would be, you have a resilient faith.
Okay.
And to your knowledge, there's no piece of you that's off limits to God.
Withholding.
Again, it doesn't mean that you're doing it perfectly in the moment. It doesn't mean that you don't screw up. But actively, there's not a place in your life where you're like, I'm just not going to try right there.
Okay.
God, you can't have access to that part.
But that's a real part of a journey, right? Like, I remember being a young Christian.
Yeah.
And I mean 6 months into choosing to follow Jesus. And I remember being convicted. Oh, I need to let Jesus into my current relationship.
Yeah.
And I remember inviting him in and feeling very strongly. It was like, yeah, this isn't good. You should leave it.
Right.
And I was like, no, that's not what he means.
Yeah.
So I stayed in it for 2 more years. It was extremely painful and ended pretty badly.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to protect me from that. But that's part of people's walks, right? It's okay to wrestle. Is it okay to wrestle with?
For sure.
So what's the difference between wrestling with letting Jesus in and not?
It is, it's okay to wrestle, and you will wrestle. None of us, I don't know anybody who's like, yeah, man, every time I ever sense Jesus telling me anything, I'm like, yeah, I'm all in, Jesus. And if they say that, I'm like, cool, well, then you've got a lot of blind spots where you're missing stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Right? Like, I think about, this is telling on myself. This morning, I gave a message to a leadership Bible study. Happens on the phone. It's for lots of like CEO type people around the nation who listen and run this thing. Yep. And I got invited to give a message, okay? The message I gave was leadership is lowership, which is a message I gave at Crossroads a few weeks ago. And I kind of said in there, I think it's the greatest leadership lesson ever. And the big idea is like, you serve everybody. There's nothing beneath you. The world says to climb up the ladder, and that's where greatness is. Jesus says, climb down the ladder. Yeah. That's where it lies, right? And so I give this message about lowering yourself and going all in and just serving, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then in my basement, it's at 8 a.m., okay? I walk upstairs, and there's stuff that needs done. Dishes in the sink and stuff around. And my first, I'm like, I don't want to do any of this. Yeah. I don't want to actually clean my own kitchen. That's not what he means. Right. I mean, somebody else will do that. So like, it's, you balk and you hesitate. I think I threw like a cup in the dishwasher. And
nice.
I was like, I got to go.
There you go.
Out, right? So I literally preached it, and then I walked upstairs, and I can't say that, man, I really aced that this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
However, my general heart posture is I want to follow God's direction.
Mm-hmm.
All day since then, I've been thinking, God, you're calling me to serve. How can I serve? Specifically my wife, right? Because I know if I don't touch those dishes, guess what? My kids aren't going to touch them either. That's not even in, they're not going to walk by. Maybe your kids do this. My kids will not do that. They just, there's dishes in the sink, and it's like, that's totally, they don't mow the grass either. They don't pull the weeds unless I ask, you know, like, in ignoring them, I'm passing it off to my wife, right? Well, since then I've been going, okay, God, you gave me that moment in the morning. I don't know if you actually wanted me to sit and do the dishes. I mean, I had stuff I had to get to and appointments I had to, I didn't want to let my yes be yes on them. Was that good or bad? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Bigger picture though, God, I think there's something here about how I can serve my wife that you want to highlight. And so all day long in the back of my mind, I just been going, what do I mean to, how can I communicate love to her? How can I serve her? When I go home, what can I do? I mean, it's part of why, honestly, moving this podcast up early. If I can move it up earlier, I realize I could leave earlier. I might be able then to stop by the lawnmower shop, get a new oil filter and new oil.
Wow.
Make it to baseball practice where I'm the assistant coach for my son's team. Do baseball practice. Get home. There's still enough daylight that if I had the filter and I had the oil, I could change the oil in our riding mower, which she wants to use to cut the grass.
Nice.
Right? I'm like, that's a way I could serve her. And get it done, which is this dumbest thing. It's like, oh, good. The thing she gets is she gets to cut the grass. Like, what an amazing husband I am. Sorry, I'm taken, ladies. Too bad for you, right? Oh. But it's this heart to obey. And there's a verse I want to bring up at this point. It's 1 Samuel 15:22.
Okay.
It says, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Okay.
And to heed is better than the fat of rams. It's an Old Testament in the sacrificial system. The idea was the thing that was the most pleasing to God was a sacrifice. You sacrifice the animal, it takes your spot. That's the fat of ram's part. You burn it, and the beautiful juices, think like barbecued meat going up, go up to heaven, and God enjoys the smell. That was kind of the idea. Well, in 1 Samuel, it says the opposite. Actually, obeying is the thing that God wants. He wants a heart that's leaned in. And so when we talk about all in, you have to say all in on what? And it's all in on following the commands of Jesus.
Okay.
What are they in my life today? And am I going to follow them or not? That's the difference.
So, okay, I have one question with two branches. But did you see you're preaching on Paul with Tarsus, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the background?
Yeah, you made it. It's awesome. The mountains.
Yeah, isn't it pretty cool?
Those are amazing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, let's talk about that too, because this is the other part. We're hitting like the not messing up side or whatever. Not saying that. Okay, that's great. That's fine. Yep. And nothing wrong with that. And that's good. Let's learn to follow Jesus more. Okay. But there's a lean forwardness.
Yeah.
That I think it's why I initially answered. It's a resilient faith. That when you stare in the path ahead of you, and there's an obstacle, or there's something scary, or there's something that seems like you might not like it, or it's just going to be difficult. I think difficulty is honestly the most unappealing thing to the modern American person, let alone Christian. Oh, is that going to be hard? I'd like to not do that.
I mean, yeah.
That's basically where we are.
There's
right?
so many other routes.
We've sort of convenienced ourselves out of being resilient as a culture.
Right.
And what Nick's referring to is Paul grows up in Turkey in a town called Tarsus. Tarsus is on the edge of mountains. And so when you read about Paul's missionary journeys, he writes all these letters in the New Testament to cities that he's largely visited. He's hiking across what are like the Rocky Mountains. Like, it's hard. Just forget what happens to him when he gets there.
Right.
The literal walking from town to town is insane. Utterly insane. But he's resilient. He's all in. He's leaned forward, and he doesn't look at the mountain in front of him and go like, "Man, I don't know. Maybe God will send somebody else." He's I'm all in. If there's a mountain to hike, I guess I'm climbing a mountain.
We should have a go trip to Tarsus purely for building endurance.
I wonder what Tarsus needs. If anybody's listening from Tarsus, let us know how we come and serve your community. Maybe you would
sounds good.
Like a playground. I don't know. On top of the mountain. Yeah, maybe you'd like me and Nick to just come over and hang out for a while. Whatever you need. We're in.
Yeah. Okay. So my question, I hope you have some thoughts on this. I don't know what I would say if somebody asked me this. Part of knowing if you are all in to Jesus, to the plan he has for you, to not being to not hedging, right? Et cetera, et cetera. To the church you go to, you can keep going. Your marriage, it's easy to forever live not confronting the fact that you aren't 100% in and say you are 100% in.
Yeah, entirely.
That's like really easy. Like, there are things, I'm sure both you and I have things that we are doing doing that in certain areas of our life right now.
Totally.
And I would hope by living in this, by the Spirit, following Jesus, those eventually get weeded out or revealed or exposed, right?
Yeah.
And that's good. When we get there, it sucks, but then we're like, all right, this is good for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the person who doesn't know or maybe has pushed it down really, really low, doesn't know that they aren't 100% in on something they need to be or know they should be or want to be, whatever. How do you unearth that? And I don't even know if it's like a communal thing. Is that individual? Is it alone time with God? Like I know some verses with like the word like splits marrow and bone or something like that, or like who can discern the heart but God?
Yeah.
So I don't know. How do you...
how do you get exposed to yourself that you're like, yeah, that you're not actually 99%? Uh-huh. 99% away? I think you know. Okay. And this is what I'm going to go back to, because you can stress yourself the crap out by going like, oh no,
right.
What if I think I'm all in, but I'm not?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, if you think you're all in, and you can't think of any place in your life you're not, then you're probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're like super stressed about it, ask your friends. They'll tell you. That's if you got good friends.
That piece of advice,
do that,
goes a lot farther than people think. Ask you what your friends think, and you know, trust them. Hopefully.
And this gets to like, okay, let's get to the big picture. All of us, the best we can be, is as all in as we have been called to be, revealed to us by God to be at that moment.
Yeah.
All of our life, though, is a journey of God weeding things out of us, calling us to more continually again and again and again. If you want to kill your faith, the surest way is to stop trying to grow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But if you're trying to grow, then that's admitting that there are places that need growth, which in our context of our conversation would be like, there's places that probably aren't all in.
Right.
My job actually, I think, is not to try to think up of like, all right, let's whiteboard the list of all of them that I can possibly think of right now. What God tends to do with us, and we've talked about this verse before, it comes from kind of a principle that he sets up in the Old Testament, where it says he delivers us from our enemies little by little.
Mm.
Lest we become overwhelmed by them.
Huh.
So he's basically like, hey, the course of your life, I'll bring something new to you this month for you to work on, think about. And next year be something different. And I don't need you to worry about the thing I'm going to work on in five years from now, because I've got a plan for it.
Yeah.
I want you focused on the thing that's in front of you right now.
That's good. Yeah.
Be all in on that thing. Be all in that area of your life.
Yeah. I can actually back that up. There was, I think, 2 weeks ago, Sarah and I were in the car. I don't know what it was. I think it was the reality that eventually our lives would be over. We would either Jesus comes back or we die and go to heaven.
Yep.
One of the two. And I said to her, I want to stop living like hedging from what God wants for our lives. And she was like, I'm not hedging. Are you hedging? And I was like, you know, I think I am.
Yeah, right.
And it's actually mostly in the way I talk about it. Like I hedge my words, like, yeah, you know, God, I don't know, maybe God asks me to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, hey, what do you think? Instead of saying, I believe that God's called me to do this. And that was like God revealing to me, hey, you've learned to speak in a hedging way since, I don't know, somewhere younger.
Well, and scripture says you speak out of the overflow of your heart, right? Yeah. So let's say there's something hedging in your heart. And this is why I say you know if you're not all in.
Right.
There's something in there. You know if it's not fully out there, right? And there, it can be scary. You mentioned Brian and talking to our church this past weekend. And if you're not part of Crossroads, it's totally cool. Glad that you're listening. We make this for anybody who's got questions about faith and how to follow Jesus, then that's what this is for. So you're more than welcome to be here. And, you know, for Nick and I, our lived experience in our community is as part of Crossroads. And this past weekend, we told the church, we feel called by God to go after more. Specifically, we feel called to try to see an awakening happen in our nation. We think the beginning of that, at a minimum, looks like growing 10x in 10 years. And that's what we want to go after. That's what we want to pursue. And as a part of that, we're all going to, as a community, go through a push in the fall that will look like a spiritual and financial push. There'll be an opportunity to commit above and beyond your normal giving for a period of time to see new things happen, new things get built so that more people can know Jesus, right? And the natural human instinct when someone starts particularly, I mean, it's a stick on your wallet. It's not the whole ball game by any measure, but Jesus does say where your treasure is where your heart is. So it's pretty friggin' important.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn important.
Yeah.
If you want to ignore it, you have to ignore Jesus. So, and when that happens, someone starts poking at your wallet, the natural reaction is to totally hedge.
Yeah.
It's the 100%. Right. I think we announced it to our staff. Talked about it with spouses Wednesday of last week. And I think I said something from stage to everybody like, you know, you probably want me to tell you what your fair share is and how much is enough, right?
Yeah.
And then you can plan for it. You can start to save a little bit. You can, you know, kind of hedge, right? That's basically it.
Right.
And I said, we've never done that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you what that is.
Uh-huh.
Instead, we're all going to go through the journey because we're leaders and leaders lead. So we're literally going to go on the journey with our community and whatever God says, that's what we're going to do. I can't tell you what God's going to tell you to do.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But you should ask him. And I think the line for our leaders is that, like, if you don't want to ask and if you're not going to do what he says, well, then you can't lead here anymore. Now, a dollar amount? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't need to tell you that at all.
Right.
But if this is where God's calling us, then leaders lead.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my own life, right, we have that meeting. And then that was on Wednesday. On Friday, Sarah and I met with our financial planner guy. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out, like, okay, my oldest is 13. College is 5 years away. How in the world are we going to do this, right? He's been really helpful. These two guys who functionally have been like partners for us, helping us think through finances and decisions and how we do it. They've been awesome. They're part of Crossroads, and so they knew the push is coming. They kind of had a heads up, like, hey, this is the direction we're going.
Yeah.
In.
Yep.
And we had given them in our financial planning kind of, hey, here's how we thought about giving. Here's how we thought about kind of baseline giving, growth over time. We have goals around there, just like we have saving goals, we have giving goals, and we want to see that grow in the same way. And so he goes, okay, well, you know, we can allocate some of this money here and this much per month here for savings and this thing. And then he's like, so the push in the fall, like, what are you thinking? And Sarah just laughed. And I was like, well, nothing. I'm thinking nothing, not giving nothing.
Yeah.
I am not and will not hedge. I am not and will not, I won't think of a number right now.
Okay.
And, you know, as a financial planner, there's nothing wrong with him asking the question at all.
Right.
Like, he's just trying to help. Like, hey, man, if God's going to call you to give money, like, how much do you think? Because I could probably help you figure out how to do it. And that's going to impact your college savings. It's going to impact vacations you might want to take with your family, your retirement savings, you know, those sorts of things. And if I now went, okay, well, let's put a number on it.
Right. Right, right.
Well, theoretically, human wisdom, that helped me plan. Also, though, I know that's a hedge. And I can't be lead pastor and hedge. I have to go, I'm going to go on the journey. Whatever God says, when he says it, that's what we'll commit to.
Okay.
Every time.
That's
there's a check, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. This will be my, let's see, Sarah made a commitment to our first ever financial campaign. That then we got married and we fulfilled together. So, and then we made one for our second campaign, our third campaign. This will be our fourth one together. And we've seen enough of what God's done when we follow him and say yes. The other side of being all in, that it is definitely easier to walk up to this one and go like, oh yeah, we're just going to be all in. At the same time, it doesn't completely shut down the voice that's saying hedge.
Yeah.
So you still have to actively push against it.
Right. So you are, you're kind of saying that there's both, you have to be honest with yourself. You've got to be. You can't, this doesn't work without being honest with yourself.
100%.
And then there's action.
Yeah.
Which even just follows so many stories with Jesus. There's the, like the blind man, he says, or like, do you want to see? And then he puts dirt on his eyes. He doesn't need to do that. He's God. But there seems to be like, here's what's going to happen, but here's your faith step.
Yep.
So
he hasn't walked to the Pool of Siloam, which is almost a mile away on the most crowded streets in all of Jerusalem.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
He said, go wash in the Pools of Siloam. Downhill walk from the southern steps of the temple all the way down to the original city of David to the pools.
I'm sure some people think that's mean, but
Guy did it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's talking about a faith step.
An amazing story, too.
Not a faith step. Faith steps, plural, many steps.
Okay, so, honesty, we could hit on that all day. It's really down to you listening. It's really down to you and listening to the Holy Spirit. You could even ask now. Like, there's probably one thing that God or the Holy Spirit is pressing on you to confront, go towards, change, commit to.
Yep.
Try it.
Yeah, don't hedge. Whatever you've been hedging on, yeah. Don't hedge. There's yeah. I'm looking for it right now. Hold on, I'll find it. I'll find this verse in just a second. It's part of what I preached this morning. That talks about the blessings of doing what God asks you to do.
Okay.
And you know, I think a lot of times, again, I mentioned this earlier. The other side of all in is extraordinary blessing, adventure, satisfaction. You get to literally see stuff that most people will never see.
Mm-hmm.
John 13. I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done to you, which is he lowers himself all the way to the floor and washes their feet.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hedge.
Yeah.
It's like, God, it's not just about being lower.
Yeah.
I want to be lowest,
yeah.
Servant of all. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant's not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, head knowledge, blessed are you if you do them.
Yeah.
He's not like, he's like, if you know them, congratulations, you're open for the next step, doing them.
Right.
And he says, blessed are you. Now, blessed literally means happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be happy? Don't hold back and go all in with God.
Right.
It's the 99.9% thing. This is another quick story. I'll end with this one. The eclipse.
Yep. Oh my gosh, dude.
Cool.
I know. I wish somebody warned me. I mean, I have a baby. I wasn't gonna be able to travel anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. But 99.6, snap.
It's so we live in the zone where it was. Is that what it was? 99.6%. 99.6% of the eclipse was coming to right where we live. And I knew the eclipse was cool. Brian had gone to it like 7 years ago. He drove somewhere and he watched it. He's like, it's amazing. It's so great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get the 99.6 of it. Like,
yeah.
How hard can this be? But then he kept talking about how great it was. And the people who had seen it were like going out of their way, making plans, mm-hmm. camping mm-hmm. overnight in random fields to like go watch this thing.
Yep.
And in totality, mm-hmm. 100%,
mm-hmm.
was only a 45-minute drive north from my house.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And it was on a Monday.
Yeah, he canceled the podcast for this.
Yeah, I canceled the podcast because that morning, I think I was talking to my buddy Terry, who works at Crossroads, amazing guy, and he was heading up with his family to somewhere to go watch it. And I called him mm-hmm. Rob, mm-hmm. who's a great friend and coworker, and he was heading up to with his family.
Everybody was gone.
And I was like, wait a minute, why are we not going? and then we had plenty of reasons. We had baseball practice and soccer practice and a million things, and Sarah was all stressed. And so I finally was like, I called her. She did not want to go. I was like, babe, you don't have to go.
Yep.
I'm going to come home. Our kids are homeschooled.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. This is their last year in homeschool and they're going to school. It's like, we're going to take advantage of it one last time. I'm going to mm-hmm. come get them, put them in the mm-hmm. car. We're going north. You don't have to come if you don't want to.
Yep.
She was like, okay. So I drive home. Everybody gets in the car, her included. Totality's at 3:09. We leave our house at like 2:15. Get in the car or two, something like that.
Man.
Head north.
Yep.
Geniuses, because all the traffic had already gone up.
Yeah.
So there was no traffic.
Yeah.
We fly 45 minutes up.
It's
2:50. We get out of the school parking lot in Springboro, Ohio. Beautiful field, plenty of parking, barely mm-hmm. anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the thing. And I will never forget for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You have these like eclipse glasses on. And it gets like dimmer and colder as the sun disappears.
Yeah.
And you can watch, like, there's a little sliver that gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yep.
And I kept, like, when it was just a sliver, I would, like, quickly, like, pop the glasses down and look at the
uh-huh.
sun,
uh-huh.
expecting it to, that I could look at it. I couldn't.
No.
It was blinding.
Yeah.
And finally got down to, like, just the tiniest speck, like a grain of sand size of the sun. And I thought, surely now it's totally dark and I can look at it.
Yeah.
Take my glasses off. It's still brilliantly light outside,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot look at the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A second later, that speck of sand was gone of the sun, and it was totally dark, and you could stare straight up.
That is crazy.
It was mind-blowing. It's totally true.
Yeah.
The difference between 100% and 99.999 is everything.
Yeah.
Literally 100%. Everything.
So, yeah, we're going to end with that. I'm going to say two things. The first is something about the Holy Spirit. What was I going to say? It was going to be, man, I don't remember.
Oh, pretty good though.
Yeah, it was good.
Wow.
Okay, I'll say the other thing and see if I remember. Being all in on something does not mean you have to be all in on everything. We're limited human beings, and God, if you read his word, he has like an order and to help you look at that, but it goes God first. And we've talked about that in a different episode. So just know, some people expect you to be all in on every single thing. You just can't do that. You're a human being.
Yep.
I do remember the other thing. Ask yourself, did you have something to comment on that? Mm. Ask yourself, what are you trying to fulfill in your life? Not by what you say, but by your actions. Is it, and if you look at your actions and your true motives, is it, I just want to be comfortable? I just want to be secure, have enough money in the bank account to do what I want to do in 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I don't know, you fill in the blank. What does your life show to be trying to fulfill? And what we're proposing here is if you change that to being all in, 100% in on God, you will have the most life-fulfilling life possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't promise that means no pain, but we do promise, well, not us, Jesus promises, that means a life full of life.
That's right. I can actually promise you it will have pain and it will have difficulty,
yeah. Yep.
But it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Way more than sitting in your couch. Way more than hedging your bets. Way more than going 99% of the way there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. That's all we got. Love you guys. See you soon.
Bye.